Praise the name of Jesus. Jesus, we thank you and we love you and we thank you that your goodness never fails. Lord, that you pursue us with your love and Lord, that you are after us every day and Lord, you desire a loving relationship with us. We thank you for that. We praise your name, Lord, for not only what you did, but for who you are. And Lord, we thank you for providing for us, protecting us, taking care of our lives in so many ways. We thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. And God's people said, amen. 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 We've been looking at the secrets of the abundant life. The secrets of the abundant life, as we find in John chapter 15, there's different secrets. The secret, first one we looked at, was the secret of living is bearing fruit. If we are not alive, we don't bear fruit. And so we live in order to bear fruit, not just fruit that will go away, but fruit that will last forever. And God calls us to do that. And so the secret of living is bearing fruit. Well, what's the secret of bearing fruit? Well, the secret of bearing fruit we looked at is abiding. He says, you remain in me and my words remain in you and you will bring forth much fruit. It's important to understand that we must abide in him, remain in him, stay close to him, be a part of who he is and let him be a part of who we are as we live together with him. So let's look in John 15. Let's read those first 10 verses because verse 10 is where we're going to kind of settle on today. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will remain even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. That's that abiding. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me, abiding again. I am the vine and you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Now verse 10, where we're going to set today. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. So look at this. If we obey, we will abide. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. So the secret of abiding is obeying. So if we look at this, it says, if you obey my commands, you will abide, you will remain. So the secret of living is bearing fruit. The secret of bearing fruit is abiding. The secret of abiding is obeying and obedience before the Lord. By keeping his commands, we abide in his love. And we do that by keeping his commands. The scripture tells us in John 15:14 that we will be his friends. In John 15:14 it says this, you are my friends if you do what I command you to do, following his obedience and doing that. And then restated by his beloved disciple John in 1 John 3:24, he says this, those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. So the principle of abiding is through obeying. Obeying. The principle of abiding is through obeying. In Jesus' relationship with his Father while he was here on earth, he obeyed his Father. He kept his Father's commands, is what he said. In John 15:10, that second part, he says, I have obeyed my Father's commands, and I remain in his love. And so he says, if I have done that, why shouldn't you do that? If Jesus Christ set the example to be obedient to his Father, even obedient unto death, the scripture says, he calls us to be obedient to him. So So what does that all mean? How does that all fit together? How do we obey and how do we stay in a proper relationship with Him? Let's look at some of these things today. It should govern our conduct as Christians to abide in Him. We abide in Christ by keeping His commandments. Again, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6, it says this, we know we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys His words, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did, in obedience. In obedience. Otherwise, we prove ourselves to be a liar if we profess to know Him and don't keep His word. Well, His word says this, but that was back then. That was a different time. Things are evolving. Things are changing. We don't have to keep those commands anymore. Yes, we do. God's word is faithful and true and for always, and God's word does not change. Man may decide that we're going to change God's word, but He says right here, if you don't keep His word, you're not in Him. He says we keep in Him. So the secret of abiding is obeying. Obedience is stressed throughout the Word of God in so many different ways. It's stressed in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was called to obey. At the beginning of them being a nation in Deuteronomy, He said, if you obey My commands, if you follow after My commands, you will be blessed. God had a plan. God had a plan in the Garden of Eden. God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and He put them there, and He said, there's one tree, there's one command here, and all. You can do anything you want, just don't eat of that tree. What'd they do? They broke the command. They did not obey. And when they did not obey, it caused all kind of crazy things to happen. What we're dealing with today happened because someone's disobedience. What happens in our life every day, good or bad, sometimes deals with someone's obedience. Either they obey and good things happen, or disobedience and bad things happen in that way, in doing that. So later, the prophets tried to turn the children of Israel from their apostasy, and they couldn't do it. They would not obey God. And even King Saul was the first king that they had, and God told him, follow My commands, and he didn't follow the commands. He went outside of God's plan and did it His way. And when he did it His way outside of God's commands, he disobeyed and God removed the kingdom from him and gave it to David. And that's what happens to us. As concluded by Solomon in his search for meaning, he says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, when all has been heard, the conclusion of the matter is this, fear God and keep His commands, because this is for all humanity. Read that again, for Ecclesiastes 12:13. When all has been heard, the conclusion of the matter is, fear God and keep His command. Simple, but hard, right? If it was easy, God wouldn't have repeated it over and over and over. God would have said, hey, just keep your commands, we're good. But it's not. Because why? Because of sin. Because of rebellion. Because of our hard hearts. Because of the wickedness that is within us, we often disobey God because of that, doing that. He stressed in the New Testament, not only the Old Testament, it's also stressed in the New Testament. During the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke about it in describing His true family, giving the Great Commission, and everything that Jesus did. He said, here's what I want to give you. Obey these things. Obey these things. The apostles in their preaching and teaching did. They caused people to try to obey, and he said, obey, 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 again and again and again. You can't read much of God's word without realizing that obedience to God's commands are essential if we're going to enjoy God's blessing, for sure. One verse that expresses all is Hebrews 5:9. We're speaking of Jesus. It says this, and having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Obey Him. I hear people sometimes say, well, I used to be a Christian, but I'm not anymore. I was a Christian, but I'm not any longer. There's no such thing as a person who was a Christian who is not. Either you are a Christian and you will remain a Christian your whole life until God calls you home, or you never have had true salvation experience. Maybe you never have. Maybe you walked an aisle. Maybe you prayed a prayer. Maybe you lifted your hand up and said, you know, and said the little thing or whatever. But he says that once you become a follower of him, once you become a believer in him, you will always be a believer in him. You will always be a Christian. There's no such thing as a former Christian. I hear that sometimes. In our day and time, I hear on radio, former Christian so-and-so. No, he's not a former Christian. He's a former religious person, maybe a former church member, maybe a former pastor, maybe a former teacher, maybe a former whatever, but he's not a former Christian. There are no such things as former Christian, because the Word teaches us that once saved, always saved, we have eternal security and eternal salvation. So it's obedience. Let me ask you, have you obeyed the commands of Christ? What is obedience? What is obedience? Let's look at this just quickly and give you, I've given this definition before, let me give it to you again. Illustration here. Obedience is doing exactly what I'm told to do, when I'm told to do it, with the right heart attitude. Three things. Okay, let's repeat that back. Obedience is doing exactly what I'm told to do. Obedience is doing exactly what I'm told to do, when I'm told to do it, with the right heart attitude. Okay, that's important, because that all calls together and does that. Now, in the Old Testament times, you obeyed to be blessed. Obedience brought blessing. And because of that, people would obey, and God said, oh, you obeyed? Here's my blessing. You obeyed? Here's my blessing. In New Testament times, it's different. God has already blessed us, and he asks us to obey. God says, I have blessed you with every blessing in all the creation, all the heavenly realm. You have been blessed. And because you've been blessed, you obey. So, obedience. And I illustrate this sometime with teenagers, and it works real good with them. Teenager sitting in his room doing nothing, you know, just kind of goofing, playing on his phone, doing something. And mom says, hey, would you take out the trash? And the kid says, yeah, I'll do that. So he goes and he gets the trash, takes it to the back door, puts it by the back door, goes back to his room. Now, did he take out the trash? No. He just moved it from one place to another. Did he do exactly what he was told to do? No. He did partially what he told to do. Partial obedience is still disobedience. So if God calls you to do something and tells you to do something, directs you to follow him in a certain way or looks in his word, and we go, well, I'm going to do part of that. Partial obedience is still disobedience. So the kid puts it by the door. He didn't obey, did he? Or the kid says this. Mom comes into the room and says, listen, I need you to take the trash out. Okay, I can do that, Mom. No problem. Got it. Own it. 30 minutes later, the trash is still sitting there. An hour later, the trash is still sitting there. The next morning, the trash is still sitting there. Mom says, listen, I told you to take out the trash. He says, I know, I'm getting to it. I'm on my way, almost there. I'm got a plan. I'm working my plan. I'll get it out. Finally, after a day, trash is stinking. He gets it, takes it out, puts it in the dumpster. Everything's good. He did what he was told to do, but he didn't do it when he was told to do it. You see, instant obedience tells us that whenever God calls us to do something, we obey immediately. We don't say, oh, yeah, God, later on, sometime, somewhere, I'll take care of that. Instant obedience says, right now, when God directs, I respond. Immediately, as quick as possible. Now, maybe you're in a position where you can't, you know, you say, I'm out on the road, and God says, when you get home, I want you to do this. And you go, okay, that's not instant, but it is when you get home, it becomes instant. So you do those things. So, disobedience still happens. Why? Because he did what he's supposed to do, but he didn't do it when he's supposed to. Or, mom comes in the room and says, hey, listen, I need you to take out the trash. Okay, I'll take out the trash. I'm going to take out Steve's trash. Why my sister take out the trash? I don't know why the sister can't take out the trash. She never does nothing around here. All she does is goof off and play with her hair and do things. I'm going to take the trash. And he goes out the back door, and as he's going out, he catches a sack on the side of the door, rips open, falls out, trash is all over the back porch. He's out there. He's mad. He's upset. He comes back in the house. Mom, I took out your stupid trash. Right heart attitude? Have you ever had to do something that you didn't want to do and you didn't have the right heart attitude? Oh, man, I'm going to do it, but I ain't going to like it. I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to enjoy it. I'm going to do it, but wrong attitude. So we can be obedient at the wrong time. We can be obedient at the wrong place. We can be obedient when with the wrong attitude, and God looks at all that and says, listen, I asked you to have what I told you to do when you're told to do it with the right heart attitude. That's obedience. Now, what are some things that, I don't know what he's called you to be obedient in. I know what he calls me to be obedient in. And maybe God calls you to be obedient, and he says, listen, here's how I want you to do this. And you say, okay, God, I'm going to do that. And when you do that, the blessing that God has already poured upon you is multiplied because God's already poured out his blessings on us. And we do those things. So it's important that we do that. The blessed are those who do his commands. In Revelation 22:14 it says, blessed are those who do his commandments that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gate into the city. Doing that. Being obedient and blessing and doing it. Well, what are some of these things, these questions that we may have about this obedience? Maybe I'm sitting here this morning going, I have some questions. What is, when God seems to work slowly in my life and he doesn't do it in my time. See, God's not about time. God's about timing. And boy, I tell you what, that's a hard one, isn't it? When it's God's timing, not our time. Because we, okay, God, now. Okay, here's, God, I've laid it out. Here it is. Here's my plan. I just need you to show up here, here, and here and fix this. And God says, no, that's not how I work. It's about my timing. And when my timing comes through, it will be right. And God is never late. And God's never early. God is always on time. Am I responding to all God is already leading me to do? What if God has already told me to do something? I say, yeah, but God, I really don't want to do that. Let me do this. And God says, you know, I want you to do this. And you say, yeah, God, but I'm really worried about this over here. And God says, do what I've already told you to do. Sometimes God tells us to be obedient in areas, and then we disobedient. We're ready for the next thing. We hadn't finished the first task where God's at. Have I already obeyed all I already know to be his will? If I've already obeyed everything, then I'm just waiting for my next assignment. And sometimes God's next assignment doesn't come immediately. Sometimes God's next assignment seems to be slow. But we just have to say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready. You let me know when. Do I really believe that he loves me and will do what is best and what is right in my life? Man, if I turn my life over to God 100% and say, God, you can have it, and God says, he's going to take me to Africa somewhere. He's going to, you know, he's going to put me out there in the middle of nowhere. He's going to make me quit my job, make me eat rats in a foreign country somewhere. And he's not. God knows what's best. If that's where God leads, God's going to provide. And God's going to take care. Where God leads, God provides and do that. Am I willing to wait patiently on his timing and obey everything I know in the meantime? Am I willing to wait on God? Boy, that's hard, isn't it? Difficult to wait on God in his timing. Well, why doesn't God give me a big assignment? Why doesn't God give me something big? I don't want to do the little things. I want something big. The servant does not tell the master what kind of assignment that he wants. The servant never tells the master, listen, here's what I want. And he says, no, I listen to the Master and let Him tell me. Man, there's days up here where there's a toilet stopped up. And I'm going, well, yeah, God, I would really rather be sharing Jesus with somebody than helping fix a toilet. Or there's a leak, or there's something broke, or there's yard to be mowed, or whatever. That's such a meaningless task. And God says, if you're faithful in the little things, I will give you the big things. You be faithful wherever God calls you to do. Sometimes it's the little bitty things. Sometimes it's the little bitty things that God calls you to do. Be faithful in what God has called you to do. Because the little things are important. Part of the space shuttle that caused the crash a few years ago, that we saw the space shuttle go up and many years ago, and it exploded and lost all the people that were on it. The part of that billion-dollar spaceship that caused the problem was a piece of insulating foam that was about $100. $100 piece of insulating foam, and the foam came off. And when it did, it allowed the heat to come in, and that space shuttle on reentry exploded. Blew up. Don't ever think the little things aren't important. Don't ever think, why am I teaching this class? What am I doing in the nursery changing a dirty diaper? Why do I have to be over here washing these dishes? Why am I serving this? Why am I doing? Don't ever think that any task is too small. Any task. Jesus got down on his hands and knees and washed his disciples' feet. And if he can do that, there shouldn't be any task too small for us. Well, yeah, but that's beneath me. You don't understand. You know, I'm educated, or I have this. I have so many talents. Do what God calls you to do, and he'll give you more. What is happening when I obey and the door closes? Well, what if I'm obeying God and the door closes? Remember, God calls you into a relationship with himself. That's what he really wants. The task God could do, God could just go, oh, fix that toilet. Oh, do that. Take care of that. Do that. God could do anything he wants. He calls us not to come and do tasks. He calls us into a relationship with him. And when we get in a relationship with him, the tasks just happen to come along as something that he has for us to do. Most of the time, when God calls, he is not calling us to do something for us. He is telling us what he is about to do where we already are. God is going to do something. God told Paul he was going to reach the Gentiles. Okay, Paul said, man, I'm going to reach the Gentiles. Let's go get the Gentiles. He headed out to reach the Gentiles, and God closed the door. And he said, I want you to go to Troas and wait. And then God gave him the Macedonian call there. But God, you told me. God said, you just follow me. That's what Jesus always said. Follow me. Follow me. And when that happens, it all comes down to trust. Intimacy causes us to trust God. There must be a loving relationship for us to trust God. So the secret of living is bearing fruit. Why be alive if we don't bear fruit? The secret of bearing fruit is abiding, remaining in him. And the secret of abiding in him is obeying. When we obey God, so many miraculous things happen. Maybe not the way we plan. Maybe not our plan. And sometimes we try to finagle the will of God. That's a good word, finagle. Isn't that one? We try to do what we can to make things happen. Have you ever done that? Have you tried to make things happen, and when you do, it just makes a mess? Let God have it. Give it to God and say, God, it's whatever. You do it. I'm the servant. You're the master. I'll follow you. I'll follow you. Bow your heads with me this morning. What's God telling you to do? Are you doing it? When you're told to do it? Exactly what you're told to do with the right heart attitude? important, having the right heart attitude about whatever God leads us in. Obedience. Obedience because of all the blessings that God has put into our life. Father, we thank you that you called us into a loving relationship with you. And Lord, part of that love, you says, if you love me, you will obey me. It's a proof of our love relationship with you that we obey. So Lord, I pray that you help us to obey you in all things and follow after you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.